I'm David Solomon. I'm the president of the Internet Society of New York, and today we have Tom Warnock here to discuss his bring us the .nyc top level domain, and I'm going to throw it over to him.
Right. Well, thank you, David. And I'd like to thank the library for setting this up. It was so nice that it was allowed to use this room, the Jefferson Market Library, and I guess the New York Public Library. And so I'm going to jump right into this thing, and I think I talk about myself in here, if you want to know, you know, a little background, so it'll kind of get filled in. And the topic for the evening is the .nyc TLD, and it's creating a space on the internet for New York and New Yorkers. And I'll explain what TLD is as we go along, get into a little bit of detail, but it's essentially we're talking about the network that connects us all. This is the network on the net I'm going to be dealing with over the weekend. It's my favorite net, the volleyball net, and it connects people, but so does the internet, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I'm going to talk about four areas. That's where we are now, where we want to go, how we get there, and when. And I want to talk about this little chart for a little while, but it talks about internet media in two communities in Terre Haute, Indiana, and in Community District 3, Queens, where I live. But first, I'm going to take a little bit of a diversion for a civics lesson. So I want to talk about New York City and how it works administratively. The city's divided into 59 administrative districts called community districts. And am I able to move here? Is this going to be a disturbing thing or not? But, here's the city's map, and here's Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island and Manhattan and the Bronx. And we're in Community District 2 over here now. And I live in Community District 3. This is Guadi Airport. We have three communities there. We have Jackson Heights, North Corona, and East Elmhurst. And each of those 59 community districts, well, within those community districts, also the city keeps all its administrative records. So typically a community district would have a police precinct, a sanitation district, a parks bureau, all different types of breakdowns of administrative districts in the city. And the purpose being to keep records so you can compare it year to year and find out what problems are and what issues need to be addressed. Each one of these districts has a community board. The boards are appointed by the borough president in consultation with the local council members. There are typically 50 members on a board. I was on board 3 in Queens for 14 years. So I'm fairly familiar with how they work and certain problems that they have. I look upon community boards as the first step in democracy's ladder, some type of an ideal look at the way our society is supposed to work. And it deals with, at the bottom, is we the people, you know, it is all of us. And we're supposed to, if we have in this ideal world, if we have a question or an issue, we would take it to our community board, and then we'd take it to our city council and move up the ladder to the state legislature and Congress in this ideal world. Basically, each step on this ladder involves a conversation between the people. That's the end of the civics lesson. Short one. But it helps to understand this this chart here, because you know, to have this conversation, you need to have a discussion. And this democratic conversation is difficult at this point, because if I might compare two areas, this Terre Haute, Indiana, it's a small city of about 105,000 people, and Community District 3, where I live, North Corona, East Elmhurst, and Jackson Heights, we have 200,000 people. In Terre Haute, Indiana, where I went to college for a while, they have 2 television stations focused on the needs of those people. They have a daily newspaper, and they have 8 radio stations focused on those 105,000 people. In Community District 3, we don't have any television stations. Now, you might think we have channels 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, whatever, but none of those focus on our community district. They all focus on the region from the Empire State Building out 90 miles, the 17 million people who live there. So when there's a pothole in front of our house, or Mr. McCarthy down the street's hungry, or there's a suspected child abuse case or something, we can't call up the New York Times or Channel 2 and ask them to come out and fill the pothole. You know, it's just not going to happen in our area. So we have very for local communication. In my particular district, we have some daily newspapers, some weekly newspapers that cover sections of the district, but there's, you know, absolutely no mass media. Never has been, as far as I know. So tonight's presentation is about ways we can improve local communication using an internet resource called a TLD. A little technical background, Internet Society people, I'm sure very familiar, but some of the audience are not Internet Society people, so this is just a very small amount of detail. And basically, it's the source of the domain name system that runs the Internet. It's something that started in October 18, 1984, and it talks all about domain name system, top-level domains and second-level domains. Familiar top-level domains are like .com, .edu, .gov, .net, .biz, .us, .info. And second-level domains are Amazon, AOL, eBay, NYU, NYC. These are second-level domain names. And why do they call them top-level domains? Think of domain name system as a pyramid. And a name like auctions.ebay.com. At the top, at the very top of the pyramid, is, let's see, whoops, let me go back here. So this part, I may jump up here again. So maybe I'll turn your head sideways a little bit, but at the top is the .com, and the second level is the eBay or the AOL or what have you, the New York Times, and third level would be auction. So if we look over here, it would be auction.ebay.com. So at least you go down like 50 or so levels down. I don't think they're commonly used that way, but you can have multiples. But it's just the top two levels that are really of interest to people. And those are the ones that people want for their businesses, for their ideas. How many TLDs are there? There are 20 generic ones, .com, .org, .edu, the ones that you're generally familiar with. And plus there are country codes. Every country, you don't have to be too much of a country, but there are about 243 of them. So in the second level domain area, there are 72 million .com names out there, 6 million names, second level names that end with .org, 1 million with .us, 32,000 .gov, and 2,500 with .edu. Every country has a top level domain, .us, .uk, France, and TV, you know, that's Tuvalu, right? Well, actually, I've learned it's Tuvalu. And I don't know how many of you have been there, but this is a Google Earth picture of Tuvalu. And I don't know how many miles up it is, but basically it's this is five. It's out in the Pacific somewhere. It's an atoll. And these are the beaches around in an open area. It's 5 miles across, 12 miles this way. And there are about 12,000 people who live down here. And if you zoom in on Google Earth, you'll find a little hut down here where I guess one guy lives who's a little concerned about the big city that's over on the other end of the island. But the important thing about Tuvalu is that it has a TLD. New York City doesn't. To the internet, there is no New York City. So, why do we want a TLD? For many reasons. The first is good domain names. The community that I come from, first, simply, a good domain name is short, descriptive, and memorable. Right? Coke.com, IBM.com, those are good domain names. In the .com world, where all the desirable ones sort of are, there are 72 million that are taken. So if you can imagine the telephone books piled up about 13 feet, that would be 72 million .com names, and there just aren't any good .com names left. It's actually changed the business world in certain respects, turned the business planning process upside down. The first business I ever started, we came up with a product. I was in my early 20s. We came up with a product, and then we said, well, that's the product. What are we going to call it? It was Forest Plax was the name of the big business. But these days, people go to websites that have domain names, and they look for available domain names, and then they start businesses. So someone may go on one of these websites and see that they can get Flip-Flop for $500 or something, and say, well, we have $500 for a domain name in our budget. And they say, well, what can we do with Flip-Flop? You know, they'll start to imagine what a business would be like that use Flip-Flop. That's not the way businesses are supposed to be designed, I don't think. I mean, it's just not the traditional way. You know, maybe someone will find out that it's a great way to do things, but I'm kind of doubtful. You know, I think you come up with a product and a name, but there are no .com names left. An example of how few were left is this service called Ning, a social networking service that was started a couple of years ago by this guy, Mark Anderson. He's an internet billionaire who was starting this social networking service, and he called it Ning. You know, it's just a good name, any name, a short, descriptive, and memorable. Now, Ning is short. Descriptive, I'm not sure about, and I guess it does rhyme with a few things, but it's not what I'd call a great domain name. And this is a guy with money, you know, he came up with that. So the people in my neighborhood, you know, where I come from, in Jackson Heights, you know, we're an immigrant community. We don't have, back in 97, a lot of people in our community, you know, they were just arriving, starting to earn a living, trying to figure out how to get through the American system. Many of them now, they're figuring out, you know, how it's done. They have a little money, they want to start a business. They can't get domain names. You know, people just out of college, you can't get a good domain name. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to make good domain names with .nyc for small businesses. You know, Ricky's Cafe .nyc. For community groups, Astoria.nyc, Jackson Heights.nyc, Charles Street, Perry Street.nyc, for civic affairs, so you can use names for like community, CB3, Queens.nyc, not-for-profits, that's my favorite, Connecting.nyc, that's going to be ours, I hope. For individuals, you can get names for individuals, John Q. Public or whatever.nyc, and for issues, things like congestion tax.nyc. So why do you want .nyc? Each one of these names that you get has identity with it. It says it's made in New York or from New York. It's right with the name, everywhere there, you can't get away from it, it's perfect. Why else do you want it? So you can find things, all right? Internet is immense. 72 million .coms, probably another 70 million other names. It's hard to find things there. This is New York City in 1800.
It's Broadway. The North River or the Hudson River. Yeah, again, you got to shift it. I couldn't quite shift my picture. I think Wall Street's over here.
It's a quaint little area, a quaint little city, and it was really nice, you know, cul-de-sacs. I think we go to Europe to go to places like this at this point, but in any case, the city leaders at the time, thinking ahead, they established a commission to plan for the future. They created the Commissioner's Plan of 1811. And in this picture here, on the right, this is from Queens. On the right is the United Nations and the Chrysler Building. And right through the middle there, you see the sun. You know, and why is it that you can see the sun? You can see the sun because the Commissioner's Plan of 1811 created the Manhattan Street Grid. You know, from 1st Avenue to 12th Avenue, from 1st Street to 236th Street, or wherever it goes up there. And it organized and made accessible New York City's real estate resources to great civic and financial gain.
Isn't there like one night a year where you can see the sun down every street?
There is.
I'll get
an animation. I see it in the paper once in a while, and I say, I got to go look. But that may be the day. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. But so that's the grid, how it laid it out. But if you start walking along Manhattan, going from east to west, you know, you go to 1st Avenue and 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue. All of a sudden, you know, you stumble into Lexington Avenue. You say, why is that avenue there so short? And the answer is that, the wisdom of the time, it created street corners. You know, corners are more valuable property. So they adjusted the real estate so that to make more street corners, make it more valuable, and at the same time, it made more community, more places to meet people. So why do we want to New York's .nyc? Is to organize and make accessible New York City's digital resources. And what are those digital resources? Obvious ones, you know, like television and books and advertising and all those types of things, you know, but it's also everything, you know, like hospitals, you know, you go to St. Luke's Hospital and find their spot on the web, and you'll have 10,000 pages of information about St. Luke's and the services they offer. So virtually everything in New York has or will have a digital identity. We want to organize that in some way or another to make it available so you can find things. That's the reason we want to do it. The city has, for example, New York City has 402 hotels. Imagine someone's in Dubai and they want to come to New York for a visit. And they go on the computer and they go into Google and they say, good hotels in New York, or hotels in New York City, or it depends upon how they enter it. You know, if they do a good search, they'll come up with 2 million. If they do a lousy search, they'll have 90 million hits for those 402 hotels. I have no idea what's in all those pages. The same with city schools. You know, if someone's offered a job in Ohio and they want to come to New York and they want to look at see if they have good schools here, they go on Google and they say New York City schools. Depending upon how they enter it, they get between 2 million and 174 million hits for 2,400 schools. And same with hospitals. You know, this is a vital resource. You know, you got a pain in the back, you want to have something done with it, you go on Google, boy, you'll be dead before you find something good. Between 1 million and 144 million hits you'll get this vital resource. So why .nyc? So you can find things. You know, we want to create directories. One of the things we want to do is create directories. So you'd have something like hotels.nyc. So in hotels.nyc, just imagine is that, you know, you go to there and you find a little map that shows hotels in Queens, in Brooklyn, whatever, Manhattan, uptown, downtown. They have alphabetical listing. Maybe it's broken down by cost. That links to the hotel's websites. You know, this is a very nice service for people coming to New York. You know, make it a lot easier for them to find our resources. We do the same thing for schools, for hospitals, for bars, for restaurants, banks, bakeries, whatever. Also, we want to make it a more intuitive city. You know, we want to make it a more intuitive internet. You know, there's a IBM.com, there's a Coke.com, and I imagine, I've never looked for it, but I'm certain there's a Gucci.com. And if I go on the web and I enter now Gucci.com, I find it just intuitively. You know that these big companies have things. When I look out my window, I see Ricky's Cafe. Yeah. Ricky's Cafe is a nice little place, 74th Street, 37th Avenue. I wouldn't think to enter Ricky'sCafe.com into my website. You know, I know that they don't have Ricky'sCafe.com, or I wouldn't imagine they do. You know, I'd be very surprised. I should check and make sure that they don't. But I'd be astonished if they did. What we want in the future is we want to have intuitive names so that you'd go home and if you saw Ricky's Cafe, you'd think, yeah, well, it's probably Ricky'sCafe.nyc, and you'd go there. You'd go directly to these places rather than have to go through Google for everything. So for every small business, you know, they'd be a good name, good domain name. So why else? All right, proximity and networking. This is the historic role for the city. This is what we exist for, right? This is some shots of some cities around the world. But cities are places where people get together to share ideas, opinions, feelings, passions, products, and services. These are two networking maps. This is a networking map, but maybe a conference. You know, everybody gets together for plenary and they break out to different rooms to discuss things, and they have a cocktail party over here. This is a networking map of the internet, an old one. I mean, if we put it on the wall here, and it would have such fine detail that we wouldn't really be able to figure it out. But those are two types of networking maps. Now, I have a networking map of New York City. I don't know how it'll show up here. It's about right. That's my networking map of New York City. It's basically people of every shape, size, and shade interacting in different ways. Right? This is the way that I see the internet, and this is the way New York exists to me. But and this is the way it was for 400 years. Then about 1995, we were globalized. Our typical city, all of a sudden we had .com, .net, .org. These disrupted traditional civic communication. Now, I don't have a lot of experience on what the impact of this will be, but I know a couple of little examples of what it might be. One of the things that it kind of monetized junk. You know, it used to be that you'd have an old lamp or something like that, and you'd take it down, you were finished with it, so you'd take it down to the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts or the PTA, and they'd sell it off and make a few bucks. These days, everyone looks at it and they say, hey, that's, sell it on eBay. You know, I mean, you make a lot of money. I mean, so, you know, does that affect the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? I'm really not sure. By the way, I do love that lamp. I wouldn't sell that for $1 million. I'm going to go on eBay and see if I can get one myself. But in any case, another example is, it used to be that if you were of Catholic persuasion, you'd go down to your local church, you'd talk to Father Hoppe, and you'd ask him your questions about the catechism or religion or whatever. And give you some answers. These days, you know, you go right to the Vatican. You know, you go to Vatican.va, and there's more information about the Catholic Church than you can imagine. You know, so what's the long-term impact of this? You know, how are these things? How is it tearing our civic fabric to have these things? I'm really not sure. You know, I'm sure a few decades from now, the library will have lots of books, or I guess they'll have files about the subject, you know, by anthropologists and sociologists and what have you. But I do know the impact that one technology had on the city, and that is the automobile. About 100 years ago, this dapper fellow here, this is Henry Ford, he came to New York and said, listen, I got a, it's a Model T or Model A or whatever that thing is there. He said, I got this new invention here, and it's really grand. It'll clean up the horses. They won't stink as much, and have these droppings all over the place. You should really, let's take a look at this, and let's make it part of our city. And we did. You know, I mean, with hindsight, it's easy to see that there were problems. You know, 40 years later, this problem. This was the South Bronx. You know, this was the what this was a this block was filled in here. This is a block wide. By a mile and a half long, and there were buildings like these, you know, six-story buildings with 15,000 people in them that were evicted to put this cross-Bronx expressway to get people from the northeast to get them over to the George Washington Bridge. So anyone who grew up during the 60s or thereafter will remember the troubles we had. And was it caused by this road going through the city? I'm not sure, but certainly we didn't prepare well for the automobile. And we haven't prepared well for the internet because no one's given us an opportunity to. But the new .nyc top-level domain allows us to think about the role of the internet vis-a-vis our city for the first time. It's a clean slate we can design our city on. No one ever came to New York City and said, you know, we're imagining this new network, and we'd like to know how it meets the city's needs. No one ever did that. You know, it was something that was used to communicate between different agencies and such, and eventually it kind of snuck out of the lab and grew monstrously. No one ever came to New York and asked us, how do you want your network to work? But now, for the first time, we have an opportunity, a clean slate to draw it on. So the role of .nyc TLD is to reconnect the city, to reestablish its historic role, change our networking map a little bit, to look more like that with .nyc in the center. Don't mean to get away with it, to rule out the others, or they'll be around, absolutely, but more coordinated, make it work for city needs. So the .nyc TLD's benefits, good domain names, directory of resources, identity, every single name, you know, every time you send an email to someone, every time they look at your address, it markets our city, makes the world aware that we're here. And also a more intuitive internet. But there's more. I like that one. Anybody know who that guy is? Pope Peel. That's Mr. Pope Peel selling his slices and dices. But what we found out last year was that there are really public interest benefits to the internet and to a TLD if they're managed right. And I was lucky enough to work with Michael Gerstein on a white paper called Towards City TLDs in the Public Interest, where we identified about a dozen specific benefits that come from operating the top level, by operating a city top level domain in the public interest. And I'll tell you where you can find that, and I'm not going to go into the details on that, but I just want to highlight or discuss one of them, and that is an element of a city nexus that we want to have a more secure internet. And a nexus means that, it's a legal term, that means that you have a connection to an area. So we're trying to figure out who gets access to these names. You know, we want it to be something that's really, that's our prized possession in the city. And can we give them out to just anybody like .com does or .info or these other domains? We want to create some type of an accountability. And one way to do it, and the lawyers say it's difficult, but is to require a nexus. And that would mean that you either that you work in the city, that you pay taxes in the city, that you vote in the city, you own property, you run a business, or in some other way you have a connection with the city. And the idea is that we would like .nyc to be a safe, secure place that people would send there. They'd feel safe sending their children there, for instance, as safe as a parent might feel sending a child to. To a .com, not a .com, but a .gov or a .edu site. So we would like people to feel that way about .nyc, that, you know, and not only that, that we would like to create it, that it's a safe place, you know, that you're not going to find, you know, spammers and all the other bunch of thieves that you find on the internet. So we're trying to find a way for the city to manage that, the city being you and I and everyone in this room. So that's one of our real interests, and trying to operate it in the public interest is really quite vital. We also see it as an urban planning tool, that the domain names, you know, domain names used for residents, for issues and organizations, civic names, which I'll talk about in a moment, civic names as starting points for conversations and participation on the web. Also domain names for democratic conversation, same thing, you know, Astoria.com, how can we use that to create a space, maybe a media space, where people in Astoria can gather and discuss issues that are concerned to them. So civic applications is something that we're really interested in, because we're a not-for-profit organization, and what we really want to do is make the TLD, make New York City a better place. And so we have this idea of civic, we have this civic project that has three parts: civic spaces, civic tools, and civic education. The civic spaces are essentially names. Names like gov.nyc, sustainable, NYC, your name, voter.nyc, Astoria.nyc, news.nyc. These are civic spaces where things can happen. And in those spaces, you need tools to operate. We would like to make tools available, different computer programs, social connecting tools. So things like they have on Facebook and LinkedIn these days, to make them available to people in the civic names. And our job, connecting.nyc is a New York State not-for-profit, and our job, we're an educational organization. Our job is to show New Yorkers and New York organizations how to use civic tools and civic spaces. We have a long way to go before we can do our job, but that's what we're working on, and I think I get to that real soon. Exactly, okay. How do you do this? How do you get a top-level domain? This project started in April of 2001. Community Board 3, which I was a member of at the time, I was a member for 14 years, we passed something called an Internet Empowerment Resolution that said, get.nyc. It wasn't really very specific at the time. All it said was that the city government or a public interest organization should acquire the .nyc top-level domain. So we passed this Internet Empowerment Resolution, and we made a lot of progress right away. Our council member, our now borough president, our congress member, Joe Crowley, they were all in favor of it. It was moving along swimmingly until 9/11. Everything stopped, obviously. Most anything good in the city stopped for a while. But in 2003, the opportunity arose again to get a top-level domain. And I started on this effort to try and get the city involved in the project. I was knocking on every door. I was asking people here, there, and everywhere that, you should do this. This is great for New York City. I got into City Hall. I spoke to one of the deputy mayor's assistants, and I never heard. And somewhat later, you know, hindsight, I uncovered the idea that the city was focused on the Olympics at the time. The city wanted the 2012 Olympics. That was the only focus New York had. City Hall was focused 2012, and it was thought that there was a, another international effort of this sort would be difficult to do, and again, the Olympics were it. Regrettably, we didn't get the Olympics, but in any case, the window closed, and there was no opportunity to apply for top-level domains, and there really hasn't been since then. But in 2005, I got a call from Dirk Krishnowski. Dirk runs a Doc Berlin project. He's trying to get the top-level domain Doc Berlin. And he called me up. He found some stuff that I published on the web and said, listen, the opportunity's coming again. ICANN's going to be issuing top-level domains. Is New York City going to do it? And I said, no, I spent an enormous amount of time on this. You know, in 2001, when we passed that resolution, I was done. You know, I walked out of my community board meeting that night, and I thought I was finished with this thing. And I put in all that effort in 2003, and I was very reluctant. But he kept pestering me, and he sent me some stuff that he'd written. He'd written some really good stuff, pointing out other advantages of it. So ultimately, I said, okay, I'll put some effort into it. And I went out, and I started knocking on the same doors again, sending me letters to City Hall, talking to civic organizations, but nobody was interested. So reading Dirk's papers, reading my own papers again, I said, this is a really good idea. I said, we really should do this. And I decided to put some time in on it. So I resigned from the community board, and I put my creative and civic efforts into a new not-for-profit that we created, Connecting.myc Incorporated. And our goal is to acquire and develop the .myc top-level domain. Now, how do you get one of these things? Believe me, it's very complex. It's been going on for years. Pardon me. The process has been going on for years. And on paper, it's even on paper, it's a mess. But there's this this National Telecommunications and Information Administration issued a notice of proposed rulemaking about the domain name system. You know, so if you were to put all of these alphabet soups in a bag and shake it up, in essence, the U.S. government asked the world, how do we manage the internet's domain name system, .com, .org, .edu? This is when 97, the internet was growing like crazy. They didn't know what to do with it. There were no plans. You know, this thing just escaped from a lab, essentially. They asked, how do we manage what's there now? And how do we issue new top-level domain names? So the U.S. Department of Commerce told one of its subdivisions, the NTIA, to find a solution, and they did. They formed, in conjunction with the industry, something called the Internet Corporation for Sign Names and Numbers, ICANN. ICANN is a California not-for-profit. It was formed in 1998. It has 15 board members. It's very much an international organization. These 15 board members are from around the world. There are two or three from every continent. Every 4 months, they get together and they discuss internet issues. They're never together other than those meetings. The next time they're going to meet is in Paris next month. Time after that, I think, is October. They're going to meet in Cairo. After that, it's somewhere in the Far East. Now, every 4 months, they meet in some other exotic area around the world. In 2004, they started again. People were getting on that back. They said, listen, you guys were formed to issue new TLDs. You're not doing much of a job on it. A lot of pressure built up, and they started something called the policy development process in 2004. The policy development process is focused on the process to issue new TLDs. And last July, they finally came out, after 4 years, they came out with a report, this subunit of ICANN. Said, this is the best we can think about. These are all our thoughts after 4 years of creating the process for issuing new top-level domains. And they decided to, this came up with a schedule. And what's supposed to happen is a draft RFP, or request for proposals, is supposed to be issued in July. And then there's a little time process after that. Let's see if I have that here. Let me go back. All right, so what do you have to do to get these things? Let me tell you what it takes to get a domain name. You have to have a good plan. I mean, you have to have the technical, financial, and management wherewithal to operate a top-level domain. You know, you wouldn't want someone to go in and ask for Charles's Bakery .myc and end up at Charles's Bakery in London or something like that. So, you know, you want to make sure the internet works right. Absolutely. Right? So we have to prove to them that we have that capability. We also have to prove that we have local support. That's a little more difficult for us because we're a big city, you know. Other places, you know, if you can imagine it like local support or community support is what they really call for. If you go for a name like .bank, you know, if you would think of what they'd expect to be the banking community. So, you know, if they had the National Association of Banks and the European Association of Banks and the Deutsche Banks and Citibank, and they all got in a room and they all signed an agreement saying, we want .bank to be issued because we're going to help us run more secure banks. The ICANN would look at their proposal and they say, yeah, okay, you guys are the banking community. And they say, you know, you got the money, you got the technical, okay, here's .bank. In our case, you know, we're a city, you know, we're applying for .myc. And what is the New York City community? You know, obviously it's all of us in the room here. It's the schools, it's the government, it's the businesses, it's the truck drivers, it's everybody walking down the street. It's all of us. That's the community. You know, so how do we convince ICANN that we have community support? And that's why I'm here right now. That's what I've been doing for about a year and a half now, trying to figure out how we gather the community support to convince ICANN that indeed we do represent, when our application gets to them, that it represents the city of New York. I've been having a lot of success. I really like this event. Other events like this, I'm absolutely delighted to go to. And also, we have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of stuff on the web. We have a website. We have a wiki. We have a blog. We have presentations like this that are on the web. So there's a lot of different ways that we're trying to engage the public in those. And I'll talk about that a little later on. And the third part of the steps to success to get a top-level domain is you have to have a responsive application. So they're going to issue an application, and they're going to say, you know, fill in the boxes and convince us that you have the good management, technical, whatever, the community, and give us a check. They're going to want a check for anywhere between $50,000 and $250,000 to go along with this application. The final RFP will spell out exactly where that is. So, overall, the timetable again. We formed Connecting.nyc last April. The ICANN draft RFP is expected out in July. We hope to submit a proposal next March. Actually, the official date at this point is still January of 09. But I've learned after being involved with this for a number of years that for every 2 days we move forward, we get 1 day closer to the application period. So I'm estimating at this point that next March we'll have to submit our application. And then if that's the case, then in October we would get an okay from ICANN, and we would be open to the public in March of 2010. And open to the public, what does that mean? That means that you can go to your computer and you can type in rickyscafe.nyc, go to Ricky's Cafe website. You can go to Astoria.nyc, and we'd go to Astoria.nyc's website. Same with Connecting.nyc, John Q. Public, Eugene. Congestion Tax.nyc, Sustainable.nyc, these names would start to work. Wouldn't happen overnight. You know, it'll be a slow process as people adapt. But there are certain parts that would be that would come quicker than others. But basically, in what did I say? Was my last guess? March 2010, these names would start working. The internet would work for us, and we could start building a better city. So, summary: why .nyc? The easy things are names, domain names. You know, we get zillions of net domain names right away. Each one has identity. It says it's from, made in New York City, and the directory, hotels. .nyc, schools.nyc, bakeries.nyc, whatever. The hard things are building this trust, this security, this community that we really want, because that's what we really need as a city. We need to find out ways that we can work better, because we're not the only ones in the world who are going to have a top-level domain. Berlin is there. They're well prepared. They're all set to submit their application. Paris is getting ready to do so. Actually, there are two cities that already had them, but they didn't have them as clean slate developments, essentially. Hong Kong and Singapore got them as, you know, sort of nation states. They got them early on, and they went to college, to the colleges, and they never had an opportunity to really look at it and develop it as a bottom-up design for the city. So, but other cities are going to get top-level domains, and they're going to organize their resources. And so we need to find out how we can organize our city, how we can make our city a grand city. This trust, security that I mentioned earlier, the various ways we can create more community through our civics project, these are the things that we have to do. So in summary, we want why do we want .nyc? We want to create a place on the internet where the world can find our resources. And most important, we want a place on the internet for the city's residents and organizations to find one another. The closing word is number two. You know, we live in a big city, and a great city. But globally, New York City is tiny. It's 0.1% of the world's population, and it's not going to change. You know, we can go up 1 million in population, we can go down 1 million in population, but we're never going to be more than 0.1% of the world's population, squished into this 400 square miles. And so it's my idea that we really have to, embrace the internet and one another, and find out how we use this resource to connect with one another, to find out how we run this tiny little space on the planet that we have, 0.1% of the world's population, in a better way. Historically, we've done this well. We are a global city. We're a great city. You know, we've developed in the past, we've developed shipping piers, train stations, airports. The 21st century, we need a TLD. We need a top-level domain. We need access also, but that's an issue for another night. But we need a top-level domain when people have access so they can find things. And you're invited to help us out. You know, really, as I said earlier, what we need to do is we need to figure out how we can organize ourselves. We have to convince the ICANN that New York City wants this. We have to create a groundswell that ICANN says, yes, indeed, New York, the New York community is behind this. We have to organize ourselves in a proper way. We have to make sure that the resources from this get funneled into our city, into making it a better place, so that we can have these tools that allow us to connect with one another. And we have to find out how to do that quickly by next March, by when we have our before then. So we have our application in. I liked Mr. McPhee suggested that in one of the publications for this meeting, saying that what we really want to do is we want to send Tom to Paris to tell the ICANN that we want .NYC for New York City. And I'm going there, but I do need more support. And anybody who wants to help us out is perfectly welcome to do so. We have recently, with the great help of my associate who has arrived just a few minutes ago, let's see if I can do this. Some of the resources that we have, I clicked the wrong button here, I'm going to be in trouble. We recently started a website, more of an action website, based upon where you can sign a petition or you can give your advice, you can go on our wiki, you can donate. I understand that donate button works. Haven't seen much demonstration of it yet, but we encourage anybody out there to give it a shot. You can come to an event. It's tonight's event, and I'm really anxious to have more events scheduled. If you click on that wiki button, it'll take you to our, we have this extensive wiki that, you know what a wiki is, but I'm sure most in the room do, but you can write to this page here. You go up there where it says edit, and I think you have to sign in a little bit first, but it's a very easy process, and you can start entering your ideas as to how you think this thing could be, how it can be worked, how we should invest our funds. But what funds do we have? Assuming this thing works, you know, assuming we're successful and everybody in New York, well, every business wants a domain name, every student coming out of college wants a domain name, there's a chance that we'll have excess funds over expenses. And those funds will be put into civic education. And so we were hopeful that works. And this place here, this wiki, is one of the places where we gather ideas, where we put our ideas out there, where we invite the public to participate in the process and tell us, what do you think about it? This is New York City's wiki. We're part of the process. We're trying to figure out our governance. We're looking for additional members of our board of directors. We're trying to figure out the governance of the whole process, because it's really the future of New York City. And one other one here, let's see, this is my last little shot here. And what we did was, with Matt Cooper Ryder, who came in late, he's in the back, may say a word or two. But what we're trying to do, one of the ways we're trying to engage the public is this wiki again. And we've created it, we're trying to break the tasks down of accomplishing this job into sort of, if I may mangle a word, do a Wikipediaization of the process, you know, to break all the little steps down that we need to do to make this thing happen into tiny little easy events, to easy tasks that people to get involved with. So on this .city thing, if you want to get involved with that, you can find it through our website. There's lots of information there, but there's a lot more we need to do. And the goal is to engage the public in the process and help us think through how we do this, how we achieve this. And that's all I have to say. And I thank you for listening. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Are there certain terms or certain types of domain names that you, just with a matter of policy, not allow to be?
Yeah, there's a good, well, I mean, that's kind of up to the community. I don't know whether
we... Sugar company.
The sugar company, there is one. I don't know.
But you're saying that you're going to regulate the domain names. You talked earlier about the community aspect of it, that you want it to be children friendly and all this kind of thing. So how are you planning to vet entries? And is this a practical...
I'm told, you know, all the lawyers that tell me that, you know, they tell me it's impossible, that it has to be, that it'll be something, you know, it'll be just like .com. But I don't think that needs to be so. I think we can work out a process where the residents decide who has what, how names are used. You know, that we can come up with some type of an agreement saying, listen, you check off that I'm not going to be a thief, I'm not going to be a spammer, I'm not going to have this or that offensive thing. You know, there's a the FCC has seven dirty words. You know, are we going to issue those seven names? I don't know. It's up to the New York community. It's not. This is a, it's a not-for-profit. We're looking for people to get involved. We're looking for a process to make these decisions. And none have been made because we're just not to that point yet. We, one of the things we have to do is we have to see the request for proposals. We haven't seen the request for proposals from ICANN as to what they want. We haven't seen the draft. We haven't seen the final request for proposals. So some of these decisions hinge upon what that request for proposals say. But the idea is to make it, you know, a little more, you know, somewhat more sophisticated than .gov or .edu. I mean, it is New York City. But we don't want it to be just anybody can come in and do whatever they want like they do on .com. We want the people, we want to have some type of control that if they're using it, if we find someone's using it to bilk someone, to rob someone, to abuse someone, we want to be able, we want to have a process set up so that maybe we can identify that, you know, that if you see names that are being abused, you might have a place to report it. And as a community, we can decide what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. It's our .nyc. If we choose it to be, it'll be our .nyc, and we can use it the way that we think our city should run. So how do we do that? It's all involved with governance, setting up systems so that we have a means to identify these things and resolve these decisions. And it means we have to get involved. We have to look upon this small 0.1% of the world's population, that this is a gem, our city. This .nyc is an important part of it, and we need to use it and manage it wisely.
Yeah. Currently, if I go to GoDaddy, I want to fill in the and primarily what they do is, if I'm interested in getting a domain, it's simply checked to determine who has been taken that.
Right.
Okay, so let's say that Mr. Mismood, I try to see if there's a kittyporn.com or free cocaine. I'm trying to think of things that are somebody to find that. I don't know that GoDaddy or the .com industry is really set up to block something like that because of the meaning of the term. Now, what you're looking to do in terms of .nyc, if I'm understanding correctly, you might want to prevent someone from getting the kiddie porn or the free cocaine .nyc domain. But of course, the human imagination. Probably people can think of offensive domains without those, you know, the words the FCC doesn't like, faster than you can program any computer to stop it. So are you going to have a vetting period where a human person will review this and maybe flag applications that might be offensive?
Well, I don't know that we could have a huge staff that would do that or anything of that sort. But perhaps, you know, as names are issued, maybe there could be a process where that, you know, they would shoot up on a screen, and if someone thought that it was offensive, they could highlight it. We could vote as a community as to whether this was an offensive word that we didn't want to be issued under our moniker, that, you know, this was not New York City, that we didn't want to have you know, kittyporn.nyc out there, and we should be able, I think, you know, again, it's not my decision, it's our decision, that we should have the right to, as a resident of New York, I think we should have a right to decide what names are issued. And, you know, clearly 99% of them are perfectly all right. There are, you know, there are a couple hundred thousand businesses that exist already. They should have access to names that reflect their businesses early on, and things of that sort, but if we could develop a process like that, I think it'd be beneficial to us all.
When you say vote as a community, how do you actually see the community being involved in that voting?
Well, I mean, just, you know, again, we're not nearly there, but I would think that perhaps that as names are you sign up for a name, and maybe there's a delay of an hour or a few hours, and it posts up on a website. And if it looks, you know, if it's greatmovies.nyc, it goes through. If there's some,
but would, I mean, how would the community be involved? What would be the mechanism?
Mechanism would be that you want to know what new domain names are being taken. Sign up here. Every new domain name goes your way. Or you go to a website and you can see them scroll.
Wouldn't that be open to abuse? That somebody could sort of pack that community and vote down their competition or something.
Obviously, that has to be worked out very, very carefully. Yeah. If it's, you know, there'll be abuses of that sort. People will try that for sure. So we need to work out mechanisms to do that, you know. So people object, you have an objection process, you say, well, listen, it's not really it, you know, they're abusing the process, they're gaming the process. How can we set up another mechanism to overcome that? So, I mean, there are, you know, if you look at a place like Wikipedia, they've had, they've extensive experience doing things of this sort. We can learn from them. And hopefully we can come up with a better system. You know, I mean, there's a lot of experience out there. There have been 263.
There are no TLDs of this nature, really. There are restricted TLDs, like, I think, museum.
They're very restricted, They're not doing very well, but they're restricted.
They have professional organizations that mm-hmm. you know, you have to be accredited.
Jobs and pro and things of that sort, yes. But there haven't been city TLDs at this point. This will be the first time that there are city top-level domains, and we think other cities around the world will also want to adopt similar policies, perhaps. We're talking to them, and we think it would be reasonable. You know, it just seems reasonable to us that cities have a right to control their internet resource. And the residents of that city have a right. We're in the United States. We have First Amendment rights. We have a whole slew of laws that we have to deal with. But within, you know, the scope of general acceptability, I think that good-natured, good residents of the city can come up with a system that will that nearly everyone will find acceptable, and that will make our city a better place to live. We're not stopping anybody if we go to .com and .info or wherever they want. They go wherever, every other, you know, there'll be 200, there'll be thousands of other domain names at a certain point, top-level domains. We're just, you know, they're opening up this process that we're going to be applying for next year, then they're going to keep it open. And they've estimated at this point that anywhere between 10,000 and 2 million top-level domains can exist under the current system. So, I mean, we have 263 of them at this point. There'll be lots and lots of top-level domains that if you want to get a point across in the city and you feel .nyc is unduly restrictive, you can go someplace else. But, you know, it's New York City. The New York City community is not going to be very restrictive on these things. I mean, we have a very broad view. We don't want people robbing us. We don't want people spamming us. You know, simple things, if we can work
it's
on...
It's hard to judge these things.
So it's a very fine line. But we'd be involved in the... We have to set up a process where we can judge these things. Where these things come before us as experts, as citizen juries, essentially. That we look at these issues and we decide on this name or that name or that problem or the other and make a decision as to whether this is acceptable or not.
But on the next point, you know, when you talked about community backing, I mean, why shouldn't this be something that belongs to the city and that the city council should be in charge of?
Yeah, I think that they had a similar instance of this some years ago, about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when they set up the cable systems. They had the public access channels, and they were a little concerned, public officials were a little, I think, concerned that they didn't want to be in a position to be stepping in front of people in terms of what went on those channels, you know. And they also didn't want to be responsible for, they didn't want to say no, and they also didn't want to be responsible if God forbid, a breast were to show on it. They didn't want someone showing up to their office and saying, I was watching public access, and I saw this or that. So they set up these not-for-profits, the MNN and Queens QPTV or whatever, to operate these things. And I think also that historically that it's not governments that operate these things, that, you know, the mayor, you know, the mayor sucks. There are a lot of names that I don't think the mayor or the city administration really wants to be in a position to make that control.
Do you need to get a charter from the city, do you think?
I would hope some support, you know, and indicate to in order
the cable company have some kind of charter with the city.
That's because they were digging up the street, you know. Theoretically, we don't need ICANN could give it to you, and say you can convince ICANN to do it. City has absolutely no say on it. I mean, this is not a matter of digging up the streets. There's no say that the city. It's NYC. It's not the city's.
ICANN would require to see the community support and some proof.
They could change their rules.
I'm just saying the city has no call on ICANN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that ICANN does what they want. And I think it's a reasonable process to say that they want to have the city community. And if the city community turns out to be the mayor and the city council and the controller and the public advocate saying we are the city community and we have the business interests and the visitors all behind us and we think it should be given to this or that organization and we're setting up a separate agency, my guess would be that the ICANN would say, well, that's it. That's the city. You know, my suggestion is that there's another way to do it, that a not-for-profit is a better way to do it, that the example that was set with the public access channels is a reasonable one. But we need a much better way to control this not-for-profit. I mean, the way they control the public access channels is that the money is controlled by them. You know, so that if one of the public access channels doesn't do what the borough president wants or the city administration wants, they don't get the money to operate. You know, so there's a lot of control there. I mean, the contract is not between the access channels and the cable company, it's the city.
Isn't part of the public access channels the fact that they don't censor what goes out on those channels?
They get away with that because they're not the city. I mean, they couldn't do that if they were the city.
Just for the record, the borough president is very, very happy with you, public access in New York. And to answer the question about the censorship, no, unless it's an egregious community violation of obscenity. Those stations are completely uncensored.
But they run very well, all the public access channels in the city. I have MNN, I know, does. Queens QPTV's not bad. It's a reasonable way to do it. But the difference is, the complication with what we're proposing is that the control of this needs to be worked out. You know, we're a typical not-for-profit. The way we are now, we're a small not-for-profit. To become a not-for-profit in New York, you need three people to sign some papers. The state will give you a document that says you're a not-for-profit, and you can operate as a not-for-profit forever, and you can keep appointing your friends and your relatives to the board of directors. We don't want it to be that way. We're looking for a process. We're looking very strongly for different ways to operate this so that the public has much more input in it. Whether it's through advisory boards, through its public ex officio seats on a board of directors, what have you. You know, we're really anxious, we're really open and want to be transparent in our operation, and we want everybody to have access to our means of...
So, also, most registries, they just do the names, and that's their business, and they leave everything else to everybody else. So you're talking about running a directory as well?
I don't know that we'd actually run the directory. There might be some, you know, like certain names like gov.nyc. We've met with
hotels.nyc.
There may be existing organizations that, you know, have the experience and the expertise to do that. But, you know, shoes.nyc, you know, is, you know, who gets shoes.nyc? That may be auctioned off. I don't know exactly how we'll do that. You know, if we can auction off some names that raise a lot of money that are used for civic education, that's a good idea. But what name should we set aside? We wouldn't consider auctioning off gov.nyc, for instance. That has, you know, that's where our government's going to operate from. There are a number of other, you know, sustainable.nyc. You know, it would be nice not to auction that off to somebody who's going to sell clothes that are, you know, made from sustainable bottle caps or something of that sort. You know, it would be nice if we could get someone who is really into the sustainability movement to operate that name. And if we can set up mechanisms to do this, all the better. And that involves getting people, that requires getting people involved. There has to be a lot of people involved with this process, or else it's going to go too slow, it's going to be inadequate. We need the public involved in the process.
What about Snapple NYC?
Snapple, they probably have a trademark, and they could probably...
That's specifically what I'm asking about, is trademark.
Well, I think that the license that we would get from ICANN doesn't allow us to issue like New York Times .nyc or American Express .nyc. We don't have a right to auction that off and start a competitor.
They want that. They love to sell Snapple in the schools, and I'm sure they would love to have Snapple.nyc. So I'm just asking a similar question. Speaking to the question of how you envision ICANN seeing the what they're calling GOTLDs as being administered. Now you have a vision where they're being very civically administered through some kind of a central agency, which vets it, you know, according to, you know, community wisdom. I'm not sure where I can, you know, what they're thinking of, how they see the GOTLDs vision, but that question is going to come up, including trademarks and certainly including what we want to call the obscene ones, just.
But I mean, Snapple is a trademark, an international trademark, probably. They have a right to that.
No, you're totally missing the point. No, they want it. It's not like someone else, you know, like right. You're going to get it.
Right.
No, they want it.
Right.
As soon as you open this up, they're going to want Snapple NYC.
Right.
And so are you going to?
And American Express is going to want AmericanExpress.nyc.
So you're saying you're not going to include any trademarks in the TLD?
No. We wouldn't get the right for .nyc unless we agreed to issue trademarks, to the trademark owners.
Would the UDRP apply to?
I'm not sure. We could conceivably, it depends again on the RFP, what it says.
Okay.
Now, it's conceivable that we could have our own, because I think the ICANN is not particularly interested in having the issues, everybody who has a complaint about the city to go running to ICANN. So I think they'd be more likely to look upon us favorably if we could set up some type of process where issues are handled locally. Yeah. So I do notice that I think the librarian just came in and told us that
one last question
was what she said. She said she wanted one last question.
Okay, how are you going to raise the money?
There are different phases in the project. You know, the most difficult one is the application phase. And we've spoken to some foundations, and we think some foundations might provide some funds. We're not really sure of that yet. We don't know how much money we need. You know, it's a big difference if it's $50,000 or hopefully less. We're going to say that cities have been harmed by the process of issuing TLDs without considering cities, and we're going to argue that they should be less than $50,000. But if it's $50,000 or $250,000, it's a big difference in how much money we have to raise.
Can you issue shares as a?
I don't know. I don't know if we can. I mean, as a not-for-profit, I don't think we can. But there are a number of ways to do it. And then, you know, once we have the license from ICANN, then it becomes a lot easier to raise the funds to do the technology and what have you. And we have an advantage also in that we don't have a lot of these TLDs. They need big budgets for marketing. And I don't think we have that problem in the city here because, you know, it's a small little place. We don't have to advertise. Typically, a TLD has to advertise globally. We don't have to advertise globally. You know, we're only interested in our city. Everybody within that, within those borders, those 8 million people are the ones that we're interested in. And so our expenses should be less than a typical TLD. And I gather that we should end there. Unless anybody has a pressing question, and I'll be around. I'm not going. I guess I am going. I'll be kicked out of here with the rest of you. But thank you very much.
Thank you.